leader of the Islamic Revolution, lauds the pace of Iran's scientific progress. Iran says Syrian army now has control over most parts of the country. Iran's judiciary head calls for a high voter turnout in the upcoming presidential elections. Iran discovers a large gas field with 260 billion cubic feet of in-place reserves in western Iran. And Zionist forces clash with Palestinians outside the Al-Aqsa Mosque, arresting dozens of Palestinian youths. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Niman Chitsos. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the pace of Iran's scientific progress has been so high that even the international community has been forced to acknowledge it. On a Wednesday address to a gathering of teachers in Tehran, Ayatollah Khamenei said the Iranian nation has made rapid progress in political and social fields, as well as in national power and international prestige. Referring to the long-lasting animosity of Western countries against Iran, the leader added that the ill-wishers of the nation make no mention of this progress made by the Iranian nation in their propaganda campaigns. Ayatollah Khamenei further stated that, given its goals and ideals, the Iranian nation needs to make leaps in different fields. He said, despite all these advancements, ideals and rightful place, the Iranian nation needs more achievements to reach its goals. The leader noted that all Iranians, including teachers and students, play an important role in realizing the country's goal to break epic grounds in political and economic fields. The leader also urged the Iranian government and parliament to financially support development of the education sector. Iran's foreign minister says the situation in Syria is very good, as the Syrian army now has control over most parts of the country. Addressing reporters following his trip to Syria and Jordan on Wednesday, Ali Akbar Saleh said, "We are hopeful about the future of Syria. While this does not mean that everything will soon be over, but the Syrian army has resisted pretty well so far." He said, "Since the region is currently witnessing momentous developments, Iran must be in constant contact with the regional countries in order to prevent any negative incident and its inevitable consequences, which could engulf the entire region." The Iranian foreign minister arrived in the Syrian capital, Damascus, on Tuesday and held talks with Syrian president. Iran's judiciary head has called for a high voter turnout in the upcoming presidential elections. Ayatollah Sadegh Amali Larijani said on Wednesday that everyone should encourage massive turnout in the June 14 presidential election. He said, "A high level of popular participation will guarantee the Islamic Republic's security." He also warned against attempts to spread a sense of despair among the public or to persuade people not to take part in the elections, adding that such moves are the same as playing in the enemy's field. He further stressed that the Law and the Guardian Council, which is the country's top constitutional supervisory body, have the final say on every issue. Registration of hopefuls for Iran's 11th presidential election officially began on Tuesday morning. Hopefuls have 5 days until May 11 to sign up for the presidential vote. The managing director of the National Iranian Oil Company says the country has discovered a large gas field with 260 billion cubic feet in place reserves in western Iran. Ahmad Ghalabani said the gas field is located in Iran's western province of Ilam and holds nearly 175 billion cubic feet of recoverable gas. The Iranian official further said this is the first sweet gas field to be discovered at an altitude of 1,000 meters. He described the discovery of this gas field as a great achievement in the country, saying it will have a positive impact on Iran's oil industry despite U.S.-led sanctions. Iran, which sits on the world's second-largest natural gas reserves after Russia, is making efforts to up its gas production by increasing foreign and domestic investments, especially in South Pars gas field. At least 14 people have been killed and 68 others wounded in a series of bombings and gun attacks across Iraq on Wednesday. Three police officers were killed in the western city of Fallujah, west of the capital city of Baghdad, after armed men and a speeding car opened fire on a police checkpoint. Hours later, in the city of Kirkuk, two car bomb attacks killed at least seven people and injured 26 others. In Baghdad, three commuters lost their lives and eight others were wounded after a bomb attached to a minibus went off. In another incident, in the northern city of Mosul, at least one person was killed and four others wounded in a bomb attack in a carpenter's workshop. And now a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution lauds the pace of Iran's scientific progress. Iran says Syrian army now has control over most parts of the country. Iran's judiciary head calls for a high voter turnout in the upcoming presidential elections. Iran discovers a large gas field with 260 billion cubic feet of in-place reserves in western Iran. And Zionist forces clash with Palestinians outside the Al-Aqsa Mosque, arresting dozens of Palestinian youths. The Syrian army has regained control of a strategic town in southern Syria following heavy clashes with foreign-backed militants operating inside the country. Reports say the Syrian forces released the town of Kherbat Ghazala on Wednesday from the militants after about 2 months of clashes. The town is situated near the Jordanian border. According to the opposition sources, some 1,000 militants withdrew from the town after they lost hope that aid would come from Jordan. The Syrian army's success in the area has raised resentment among militants over what they consider as lack of support from Jordan in their fight against the Syrian government forces. Zionist forces have clashed with Palestinians outside the Al-Aqsa Mosque in East Al-Quds, arresting dozens of Palestinian youths. Zionist troops beat and dispersed Palestinians who were gathering in the Holy Mosque on Wednesday after Zionist settlers entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque and started acting in a provocative way. Several Palestinian journalists were reportedly wounded by Zionist forces. Earlier in the day, Zionist forces raided the house of Grand Mufti of Al-Quds, Muhammad Hussein, and detained him in connection with the heightened tension in the area. On Tuesday, similar clashes erupted between the Israeli soldiers and Palestinians following the entry of some 100 Zionist settlers into the mosque. Now, Jordan has summoned the Zionist regime's envoy after lawmakers unanimously demanded the government to expel him over the regime's detention of the Mufti of Al-Quds. The Jordanian parliament has voted to expel the Zionist regime's ambassador to Oman and recall the country's envoy to Tel Aviv. Jordan's premier has also criticized the Zionist regime for its systematic deployment of special forces and setting up a military barracks around the holy site. He has vowed to demand the UN Security Council to hold an emergency meeting if the Zionist regime refuses to end its aggression. At least 11 people have been killed and several others injured in violent clashes between the police and protesters in the southern Afghan province of Kandahar. The casualties came after hundreds of Afghan protesters took to the streets on Wednesday in Kandahar city to protest the latest skirmishes along the border with Pakistan. Afghan security forces said Taliban militants, who were among the anti-Pakistan protesters, opened fire on the police. They added that at least eight Taliban militants were among those killed. Wednesday's protest rallies followed a spate of clashes between Afghan and Pakistani security forces at a contested border area over the past few days. The clashes have left one Afghan soldier dead and a number of Pakistani border guards injured. The two neighbors have accused each other of beginning the firing on the border. The death toll from a collapsed building housing five garment factories in the Bangladeshi capital Dhaka has passed 780. The country's army spokesman said on Wednesday that the toll now stands at 782. Local authorities said they have started the dispersing benefits to the survivors of the building collapse. Officials say there is no clear indication as to how many bodies remain under the debris. Over 2,500 workers on shift at the time of the incident were reportedly rescued. On April 24, an 8-story building of the Rana Plaza garment factory in Sawar, an industrial suburb of the Bangladeshi capital Dhaka, collapsed. A new Save the Children report has revealed that more than 1 million babies die the day they are born every year. According to Save the Children, 14th annual State of the World's Mothers report, titled Surviving the First Day, the 14 countries with the highest rates of first day deaths are all in Africa. Somalia, Congo, Mali, Sierra Leone, and Central African Republic are the 5 countries with the highest rates of such deaths. But even in the region's richest country, South Africa, the number of stillbirths is high and too many children and mothers die needlessly.
In South Africa, on average, every day, 21 babies die in the first day of life. That's almost one baby an hour. Most of these deaths could be prevented by ensuring that mothers and babies and children have access to skilled medical assistance, regardless of ability to pay, and regardless of where they happen to live in this country.
What's gone right is our rollout on the HIV AIDS programs. I think we all seen the mother-to-child transmissions come down significantly. What's gone wrong is the fact that we just, our kids are dying of preventable diseases, and the cost of which is negligible compared to their lives. And that's where the real problem sit at the moment.
And now let's shift to a sports item. Alex Ferguson will retire as Manchester United manager at the end of the season, ending the most successful managerial reign in English football. The shock announcement on Wednesday led to a flurry of speculation about who would take on one of the most coveted job in world football. Ferguson, 71, has guided United to 13 Premier League titles and 2 European Champions League crowns in 26 years in charge at Old Trafford that yielded an astonishing 38 major trophies in total. Ferguson will remain at United as a director and club ambassador and said he was confident he was stepping down as manager with the team in good shape. Ferguson's final game in charge will be away to West Bromwich Albion on May 19. A U.S. Air Force official who headed the service's sexual abuse prevention office was arrested for sexually assaulting a woman in Virginia over the weekend. Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Krasinski, 41, in Virginia over the weekend. Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Krasinski, 41, was removed from his position as head of the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office pending an investigation. The incident happened just after midnight on Sunday when drunken Krasinski approached a woman in a parking lot in Arlington, Virginia. Police said the woman fought off her assailant. His arrest comes as the U.S. military grapples with more sexual assaults in its ranks. According to a Pentagon study released on Tuesday, sexual assault causes among active duty U.S. soldiers has climbed by 35% since 2010. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRN and English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Goodbye.